Good evening. It's good to be here in the Lord's house, and good to see so many people here tonight. And I always appreciate faithful people, people that are faithful to the Lord's house, there for every service, and make that a priority in their lives. Does anybody here remember what they had for dinner 3 weeks ago, Wednesday night? Well, that doesn't mean you didn't eat, does it? You probably did. You just might not remember what you ate. And that meal was important to your sustenance and your being maintaining your body. And, you know, you might not remember a particular message in 3 weeks, but every message, every service has plays an important role in fulfilling and maintaining your spiritual walk. Amen. And your spiritual life. Amen. And you may not remember who preached it or what was preached, but just being there under the Word of God and hearing it week after week and service after service does a great working in our heart. And if we were to stop that, we would just start to see how we would cool off and just get away from God. And we need that time in the Lord's house, service after service, hearing God's word. And so it's a blessing to see faithful people in the Lord's house here tonight. I know we don't have much time tonight because of that the meeting that we have, but in light of that, I thought it would be appropriate for us to think about four components to the success of a church. Four key components to the success of any church. I'd like us to be reminded of what God's plan for the local church is. You know, the local church is God's plan for today. He says in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. And the church is made up of saved, baptized believers. It is then God's plan for every believer to be a part of a local New Testament church or assembly of believers. We see that in Acts 2:42. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized and were added to that church. You know, like many aspects of life, the attention and focus on our work or purpose in life can easily suffer or be forgotten, and therefore requires regular reminders and diligence to keep the focus needed. It could be in your job. You know, you can kind of just get into the rut of doing your job. And, you know, sometimes you can just kind of stop and think, wow, I'm not doing as good as I could be doing. Or, you know, things have happened that show that I was just kind of sleeping on the job, so to speak. And we have to kind of be reminded of what the purpose and what the purpose of our job is. Or maybe it's in school. Or think of a pencil. It's nice and sharp, but after time, it wears down. It gets dull. And there's a need to resharpen that pencil. Or just recently, I had some car work done, and, you know, they had to realign those front tires to make it what it ought to be. And as a church, it's good for us to get resharpened or to realign what our thinking is, what the purpose, what the focus of our church needs to be. And it's not a complicated matter, but it's something that we have to be reminded of regularly, otherwise we get off track. And so as a church tonight, we need to be reminded and refocused, realigned with the purpose that God has for us as a church. You know, what is most important to a church? What matters to God in regards to this church? You know, it's not what we think is important, or it's what matters to God. That's what we need to be concerned about. And I want to just highlight four components to the success of our church. If our church is going to be successful, if it's going to be what lines up with the New Testament church, if it's going to be what pleases God, these are four components that need to be in our church. And first of all, we need to have an obedience to the Great Commission. Obedience to the Great Commission. Look at Acts chapter 1. A very familiar verse, but we can reacquaint ourselves with this verse. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Actively engaged in reaching the world with the gospel. That has to be front and center. The reaching of lost souls has to be the center of our focus. That's the command, that's the commission that Jesus Christ has given to us here today. A command that has been given for this age. We call it the church age. And until Jesus comes back, that is to be our focus. Reaching souls with the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, I'm not going to read it all, but the end there says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or of the age. And that is the age we're in. The number one focus that we ought to be having is the commission, the command that Jesus Christ left us with. You know, it doesn't matter the condition of the world around us or what it's like. This is what our focus needs to be. That's the focus we need to have, is obedience to Christ's great commission. And our church, oh, how we need that to be the focus. We need to be a church that is willing to stand and proclaim Christ as the healer and savior of this world. You ever just stop and think about the hurting people around us? Just hurting and so needy. And we have the answer. We know the one that can heal their wounds, heal their hurts. Our world today needs Jesus Christ. And we have the answer, and that needs to be our focus. You know, I appreciate about our church the regular attention that's given to reaching souls with the gospel. And I appreciate that. And hearing from many others and faithfully witnessing and inviting folks out to church. You know, and there's many that give themselves to reaching people. That is right, and that is normal. And if you're here tonight and that's not the center of your life, you know, that's not normal for a Christian. Reaching souls ought to be normal and what's right in our life. And that's the plan that God has given to us in this church age. But it's also individual. It's for every believer, not just for this age. It's for every believer. If we break it down, it's for every believer. Every Christian is called to give their energy and life to see the gospel go forth through the local church. You know, I personally like days like Friend Day or that men's night we had. You know, everybody has that same focus. We're all working hard to get unsaved people here. And, you know, to see them come and, you know, see the Lord work in their hearts, it just brings energy and life to our church. And that's what it ought to be. That's how God desires. You know, our Wednesday night prayer time requests ought to be filled with people requesting prayer for people they're witnessing to. And so often it is. And that is normal. That's the way it ought to be. You know, a church that is busy reaching people is a church that has life and is pleasing to God. It shows it's being successful. That's success in God's eyes when we are obeying His command to reach souls with the gospel. So tonight I wonder, what part are you playing in reaching somebody with the gospel? Is your life obeying this command? Are you being used to reach somebody with the gospel? A second component that will make our church successful is commitment to the truth. Obedience to the Great Commission, commitment to the truth. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. One of the primary responsibilities of the church is to hold up the truth, to preserve the truth. And our church, we need to understand that sacred responsibility that we have to hold the truth, to preserve it, so that it can be passed on to the next generation. You know, if we let the truth fall, that means the people after us aren't going to have it. It's a very sacred responsibility. And a key component to the success of this church is us properly holding up the truth of God's Word and the doctrine that's taught in it. 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I'm hearing pastors articulate that in my mind. I've heard it so many times over the years. The picture of that Greek architect with the pillars holding up that building. And the church is that pillar that's holding up the truth. And that is a very serious task, to hold up the truth, not letting the truth fall. Each one of us play a part in not letting that truth fall, in holding up the truth. That's a serious responsibility we have, to preserve and hold up the truth. And that's a key component that we need to understand as a church to be successful. And that comes, that commitment to the truth comes out of a love for the truth. You know, knowing the Bible. Is that important to us, knowing God's Word? Do we make it a priority to study and to know the Word of God? When we come, do we come with an attitude to learn and to know the Word of God? You know, we can just get so comfortable sitting in the pew and just kind of maybe being there, but our mind being somewhere else. But do we come wanting to know the truth with that heart and that attitude? And then also out of that love, living by the Bible, living by the truth. These evidence a love for the truth that ought to characterize our church, living and obeying the Word of God. You know, tonight, is the truth important to you? As a church, is it important to us? Does it matter what the Word of God says? Does it matter to us if we are preserving and holding up the truth? Tonight, we need to get a sense of that weighty responsibility, that if we don't hold up the truth, those after us won't have it. We need to hold up the truth. That's our responsibility as a church. Thirdly here, a success of a church, is, as we've seen, is obedience to the Great Commission, commitment to the truth, and thirdly, separation from the world. You know, this is a very strong message that we see throughout the Bible. Principles. This idea of separation. You know, the devil, the Satan, is the one behind this world system. He's the one in control of it. And so for the things of God to mix with the things of the devil, of the world, they don't go together. They don't go together. And so this principle, this truth of separation from the world is very vital to the success of the church. You know, we will never impact the world for Christ if we are not different than the world. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean." In James chapter 1, verse 17, one of the key aspects of pure religion is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Not even a speck of the world on our garment. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. And a pure church is so vital. And that's what God wants. That separation from the world in our church and in its members. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God wants us to separate, to be different from the world. You know, how many Christians are trying to fit in with the world? They want to look like the world. That's not a good sign when that's evident and they're trying to manifest that in their life. That's very serious. And we ought to seek to do all we can to separate from the influence and the world in our lives. Obviously, we live in this world. There's a difference there. But not letting that which is controlled by the devil and his system influencing us and the things of God. So separation from the world, very vital, and much more could be said about each of these components here tonight. But a last thing I want us to mention here tonight, and I think, you know, this is a very vital thing, and I think in that, obviously, as many would desire to grow in, but this component, and we see it vital part of it in the New Testament church, is power in prayer. Power in prayer. You know, a church that prays and that can see God answer prayer, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. And that the success of our church hinges on our prayer and the prayers of God's people. We need God's help. We need His power in our lives. Like I said, the early church we see their great example in this area of prayer. It was a vital part to the church going forward. In Acts chapter 1, right there in the beginning, we were just there a moment ago, but in Acts chapter 1 in verse 14, we see after Christ's ascension, they gather together and they begin to pray. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, it says. Boy, they knew that was a vital part of their life. Four times throughout the book of Acts, it says, and when they had prayed. Four different places, and when they had prayed. You know, don't give up on prayer meeting. Don't think, oh, that's not important. No, that is key to the success of our church. Four times, and there's other examples of instances where they are praying, but it says, and they specifically noted, and when they had prayed. And after that, we always see something great that God did, when they had prayed. There's great power in prayer. In Matthew 21, verse 13, we see, it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That sounds like it. God wants that to be a vital part of the church. And the success of any church is prayer. That's what God's house is to be known as, a house of prayer. People ought to know that when they come here, God's going to work. God answers prayer. They're going to see God do great things. And how we need to grow in this matter, how we need to take it seriously in our prayer life here at church, in our prayer times, but also as individuals in our prayer time. Personally, we need to see how vital that is, the power that we can access in prayer. So tonight, you know, good time to remember, what should our church be focused on? What are some key components? You know, certainly many other things could be said or fall under these categories. But what are some highlights? What are some key things that we need to keep our eyes on? Maybe we need to take, so to speak, the pencil and resharpen it and make it what it ought to be. Realign our lives and our church with what God's plan is. You know, we live in a confusing day. And we want to keep our eyes and our attention on what God's word says and what His plan is. We don't need to look at everybody around us and see what are they doing, what's the new fad today. No, that's not what God wants. The success of our church doesn't ride on others and what everybody else is doing. It rides on what God's word calls for us to do. And so tonight, may we be encouraged and challenged to really focus our life back on what God's plan is. You know, maybe as for someone here tonight, you've become dull. You need to be resharpened. You need to get realigned with God's plan. Maybe specifically a person. You here tonight, God's working in your heart. You haven't been that church member, that Christian that you ought to be. You have not been doing your part in one of these areas. Maybe they've been suffering. And tonight, let me encourage you to get right in that area, to deal with that, whatever it is that has gotten you off track, that has gotten you out of line, and respond to the Holy Spirit and what He is wanting to do in your life. Because God wants our church to be a success. And I know many here desire to be this church to be a successful church. And it's going to come when we follow and I'll put these key components in our lives and in this church. Let's pray. Lord, would You help us tonight, Lord, to apply these truths and to put them into our lives. Lord, we can get so focused and busy with the things of life and we lose track of what the main thing is. Tonight, may we get realigned, retooled to accomplish what Your plan and goal and will for our church is. We pray that You would help us. Oh, Lord, we need Your help. Lord, move and work in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.